We're going to look at a montage that I made from just over an hour of the first segment of their debate. In the first segment, we're going to look at montages of Jordan's communication style. I want you to watch for style. I'm going to talk about style. In the second segment, I'm going to be talking about Sam's style. And I want you to watch his style. Forget the points. Be an intelligent person and focus. I'm not judging. I'm just observing style. And then the next segment is kind of a summary, really, really quick. You get over it, sort of review of style. And I think that Jordan really nails it on some things that are happening. In the first segment, Jordan does a lot of listening. He will ask for clarification. He'll say, I think you think this. Is that correct? He will stop and wait for an answer. Based on Sam's answer, Jordan will say this or that, and it will go in a different direction. Later on, as they get a good ethos going, Jordan is more comfortable with not pausing so long. That's healthy conversation. But when Sam interrupts, it still will, you can see later on, will steer and direct what Jordan's going to say. This is good communication skill. Jordan's doing the right thing with this. There are other things Jordan does that I take some issue with his style. But we're going to get into that later. And mainly, you know, the symposium prerequisite, make your point first. He makes his arguments first. But there are reasons why Jordan does that. Sometimes throwing in a, kind of a surprise idea to get people thinking, stating your arguments first and your point later on, that can be less inflammatory. And when you're talking about hot topics, you don't want fists to fly. So Jordan has good reasons for why he puts his arguments before his conclusion, because he doesn't want people to kill each other and, you know, so to speak, and get fighting and shouting and punching. That is smart. So there's some smartness to how he does this. With a good, safe moderator, though, it's safe to make your point first. And that's what I would do. Brett was there as a friend to get them together. I would be a strong moderator trying to hope that, you know, hold Jordan accountable to make his points first. Okay, so Jordan builds his case and then presents his point. He does this a lot, and he's very open and willing to listen. Now, after that, Brett is very different. Brett talks with absolutes, and this is the truth. This you'll see what I'm talking about. Later on, Brett does this thing. I call it an Ivy League debate tactic. That's, I'm sure you'd agree, and I'm sure the audience would agree. I invite anyone to go do research and see how right I am. Everyone agrees with what I'm saying. It's so global and universal, no one would dare disagree. I'm sure you would agree to this. That's a Harvard debate tactic, and you keep doing it, it becomes mesmerizing and hypnotizing, and eventually it actually pulls Jordan in, and he starts falling into it when Jordan should be calling him out on it. Not mean in a mean way, divisive way, but Jordan, I think, should be saying, you're doing that tactic thing, and let's just, you know, I'm listening, I hear you, and stay in control, not get hypnotized by it. You don't want to hypnotize each other in a debate. That doesn't make for a good debate. So Sam, he does this thing where he does this Harvard, not maybe so much Harvard as an example, not really an archetype, this Ivy League debate style of, it's a tactic of, I'm sure you'd agree with me. And I think, I mean, that's true, right? And we believe that, right? And I mean, it's obvious. It's so clear. Nobody would, I mean, it's just so clear. Everyone would. God, the devil actually held a symposium and agreed with me on this. No one would. I mean, it's that type of talking. The other thing is, Sam seems to have this opinion that's clear in his mind, and he can't see why Jordan can't see it. And to Sam, it's a foregone conclusion. It's absolute. It's objective fact. Nobody should even dispute it. What the heck? Why can't you just agree with this yesterday, dude? What's wrong with you? And Jordan thinks that these are subjective opinions. Hold on, I need water. When Sam starts to get frustrated with Jordan, which you're going to see, notice that Sam is, he can't figure out why Jordan manages to keep squishing out. It's like trying to nail jello to a wall. I can't get you, what's going on? He can't win a debate. He can't make Jordan speechless. Jordan's always got to come back. He just can't get it. And I think the reason for that is because Sam, I think, has an opinion in his deep, somewhere buried down in his thinking that he doesn't know that he has. And if I brought Sam onto the symposium, I would try to help Sam get that out so that he could make his debates a lot better. So watch how Sam does this. Sometimes it's not desirable. Sometimes it's adorable how genuine and authentic Sam is. I really like that about Sam in this. Incredibly authentic. And sometimes Jordan starts pulling his weaselly maneuvers and Sam sees it all over his face. And I love the priceless look on Sam's face when Jordan does that. I'm going to elaborate on these things more as we watch. So I'm going to hit the play button and I'm going to do like the pastor's always wanted to do and scale myself down to size here. Realize there are many points that I'm going to elaborate on somewhere later. Scale myself down to size here and maybe move myself out of the way a little bit. I think eventually Jordan's going to be occupying that. Okay, so I'm scaled down and you can see me. We're gonna hit their play button here. I'm using VLC. Watch this. Here we go.
See, one of the things that Carl Rogers said, this psychologist, was that a good way to have a discussion with someone is to tell them what you think they think until they think that what you said reflects what they said.
Yeah, I've always said that myself.
Look, this is a really useful thing to know if you're ever having a discussion with an intimate partner, for example, is that you have to put their argument back to them in terms they agree with. It's very difficult. You want to ground a structure of ethics in something solid.
He's not, and
there's two.
He wants to make sure he understands.
There's two things you want to avoid. Two catastrophes, let's say. One is the catastrophe that you identified with religious fundamentalism.
The other is the
catastrophe that's associated with moral relativism. Is that reasonable?
Yeah, that's good.
Did you see what he did there?
And then maybe your second priority is something like, you see undue suffering in the world, plenty of it.
This is called summarizing.
And you would think that things would be better if that wasn't the case, and that this morality, whatever it's going to be, is at least going to ground itself in part on the presupposition that the less undue suffering in the world, the better.
Is that right?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would just add to that the positive side of the continuum as well. Well-being for me subsumes all of those possibilities.
Okay. Well, so I focused on the suffering element, I think, as I've done in my own work, because I actually think it's easier to zero in some sense. Like, I think it's easier for people.
Yeah.
I think you lay out the argument in the moral landscape kind of like this. I think it's easier, perhaps, to gain initial agreement between people on what might constitute a generalized ethic to concentrate on what we don't want.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that what we do want is unimportant, but it seems to me to be harder to get a grip on. We don't want Auschwitz. We don't want the Gulag Archipelago.
I would add, closing the door to moral relativism here,
those who do want Auschwitz are wrong to want Auschwitz. Auschwitz only happened because some people did want Auschwitz.
Crucially for me is the claim that observe, be an observer of people.
I'm a realist. I'm a moral realist, and what realism means is that there are right and wrong answers to questions of this kind. And you cannot know what you're missing. In fact, we almost certainly don't know what we're missing on questions of human value. And our job is to discover just how good life can be, and just what variables are making it needlessly horrible.
Make life better. We need
mitigate
a better
all
life.
Of that and
let's get a better
in
life
in a better and better world.
A better world.
Okay, clap, clap, clap,
better world. I mean, who would object to that?
Okay,
I'm going to talk about that later.
That's a
better
lot
world
of points
is not
agreement.
A grand standpoint.
So it doesn't seem to be religious fundamentalism per se that's crucial to your argument.
Now, Jordan's asking what's going on. See, he stopped. Jordan stopped. See?
So is it reasonable to assume that the association...
Am I understanding
you right? We've already established, at least in principle, that there's an association between the totalitarian regimes, let's say.
Okay. And dogmatism.
Right?
And the dogmatism that characterizes religious belief.
Yeah.
What do you think, although at least in principle, the secularist totalitarian states and the religious fundamentalist totalitarian states do differ in one important regard, which is that the religious types ground their axioms in God and the secular totalitarian types don't. And so there's got to be something about totalitarianism per se that's independent of, that's associated with religious belief in the manner that you just described, but that's not particularly associated with the belief in God. There's something that makes them, that's a commonality between them. And so do you have any sense of what that might be?
Please,
we have to be very careful about equating all the religious texts.
I
do actually think that you are careful about that.
Okay, you
but
did.
But that's something we can have a discussion about.
I agree with you there.
I want to know where we agree at all. I'm not trying to put
words in your
mouth.
You kind of sent at Sam already is, do you see a hierarchy of unacceptability between different religious doctrines? I mean, and I would say you acted. Okay,
you
fine.
Okay, you did. Okay. So you told me, and I said,
slavery is condoned in the Bible, in both Testaments, and in the Quran.
Hold on.
There's no getting away from that.
Technology here. Okay. Do you see are you picking up what just happened there? Do you see Jordan's style? He's open. Now, listen, I'm going to be interrupting this because if you want to go see the debate, go watch the debate. This is my analysis of it. And I want you to see and observe people and see what's going on. Okay, so rewind here. I want you to watch Sam's style. Jordan was always listening. Please interrupt. Please correct me. I'm assuming you're right. Okay, I'm going. I make my point. Yeah, okay, I'm making my next point. Saving time. You want to talk? Okay, please. Oh, you said it. Well, then I don't need to. Great. Okay, Sam talks and Jordan is receptive and changes what he's going to say because Jordan wanted to make sure that Sam had spoken his idea, written whatever, and that Jordan understood him correctly. So they first understand what the other guy's saying before they know whether they agree with it or not. First, you got to know what people are saying. Very important. And many people in debates, especially in American politics these days, don't do that first. And Sam's approach is very, very different. There's a lot of Ivy League and a lot of absolutist stuff. So we're going to go through and listen to that now.
Slavery is condoned in the Bible, in both Testaments, and in the Quran. There's no getting away from that.
No, you don't get away from that.
It's very easy to get there because some of the claims in the book are not at all hard to parse.
In fact,
many of them can only be honestly interpreted one way. So to take, again, an example that will be not inflammatory
to you. Because you're easily inflamed. I'm going to use an example that's not going to inflame you. Since when is Jordan ever, easily inflamed and mad? Okay, just look at what Sam's doing. I kind of praise to him for doing this. This is kind of friendly provocation here. Good, bad, see what Sam's doing. Not to inflame you and get you all excited. poke, jab, provoke. If you don't want to have a fist fight, this is not how to do stuff. Sam is smart and knows that he can get away with it. And that's one of the endearing things I like about Sam. He can get away with it in this situation because he knows that Jordan's not going to lose his cool. Okay, so just observing, not judging, I do kind of think it's entertaining, and I'm kind of glad. I wouldn't do it, but I'm glad Sam did, and I think it was all right.
But makes the point.
But look at this. Sam's looking away. See, he just kind of did that little jab thing at Jordan, and he's like, and for you not to, not to inflame you, but I'm not going to look at you. See, he's not. Jordan was looking at Sam the whole time. Sam is not looking at Jordan here. Sam is looking down. He's not receptive. He's going on. He's not prompting Jordan to talk. He's not asking for a response. If Jordan responds, he kind of talks over him and keeps going. Like, Sam is making his point. It's a foregone conclusion. He's going to stick to it. Be quiet until I say it enough, until you agree with me. That's his style. Right or wrong, probably not good, not entirely wrong. We'll talk about it later. Notice the style. Here we go.
It just says that the remedy for theft in the Quran is to cut the hands off a thief.
It just says
the unambiguous injunction.
I mean, it's not an
allegory.
It's not. You can't argue it. Do you hear Jordan? Jordan's agreeing. This is an I've noticed this. Telling someone that it's unambiguous, you can't oppose it, you can't object to it, you can't possibly say otherwise, you couldn't, no way. That's the Ivy League debate tactic. It's hypnotic, it hypnotizes, and Jordan's getting pulled into it. Look, it may be that obvious, but the purpose of a debate is to prove it. Not just expect that people agree with you. You're supposed to prove it, dude. This is kind of lazy, but it's also like, it's like white collar lazy.
You have to indulge some needless immiseration of other people.
Oh, that's a subjective opinion. He's talking about slavery. You know, you have to he's got an opinion, but he's ramming it as truth. Watch what he's doing.
Right.
Right. That's Ivy League, right? I'm right, right? This is a thing that people do. It's actually a tactic that you can use in a debate. You got to know people are doing it.
There's no...
I don't think Sam knows that he's doing this. I don't think Sam knows that he's doing this.
Net damage being done here by this belief system. No, these are, I would argue, in many cases, psychologically normal people.
They're normal people.
Once you grant that... There's a tension between, you know, how we pursue the same goals.
Because I know you're going to disagree with me.
We've just established we have many of the same goals.
I know, but I don't want you to disagree with me.
Insofar as you make, they can also hold on to everything they love in Christianity or fear to lose. And it's undoubtedly mostly Christianity, but...
Undoubtedly, but I don't... Now, look at this. Look what's happening here. Okay? Now, Jordan's over there, the shrink... And he's just listening and he's being quiet, and that's provoking Sam to talk more. See, Jordan's a counselor. He's got a background in clinical psychology. See, right now, the shrink is over there provoking the client to talk, and Sam's on the couch, and Jordan's not talking. And that's making Sam uncomfortable and fill the silence. And you think, oh, I didn't provoke you to answer. What Sam would be smart to do at this point is to stop and say, Jordan, please answer me. What do you think? But Sam's not listening at all. He just talks. So he doesn't know to do that. On my podcast, I would stop Sam and ask Jordan how much he agreed. I'd say, Sam, you look like you want a response from Jordan. Stop. Jordan, what do you think? And I would make sure that we know what we're doing and how we're talking. Here we go.
My concern is that it keeps us shackled, and it would be much better, I think you would agree.
I think you would agree. I think
one of the Ten Commandments had been, don't keep slaves.
Not necessarily. Daenerys Stormborn thought so, but she learned the hard way there's problems with that. We've got the formulation of the Constitution. We've got the fact that the Bible doesn't have that. And then George R. R. Martin does put forth a good argument. That's another podcast I'm going to come to, but not necessarily. The terrible, horrible thing about slavery is that it's like a jigsaw. It's like a Saw movie. It's like a horror movie where if you save yourself, you kill yourself and everybody. It's like you kill everybody and yourself by trying to save yourself. Slavery is people. If you think that one of the Ten Commandments ending slavery would have ended slavery, you don't understand how incredibly evil slavery is. It's really, really evil. We don't know slavery, so we don't know how evil it is. Let's take it for granted that God is good and that if he didn't end slavery right away, it was for good reason. Let's just assume that that could be possible, but it's a foregone conclusion. It's so clear. I mean, you can't deny it. I don't think he's open to that. And that's why he can't stick his finger on Jordan. And that's why Jordan keeps buzzing around the room. And if they're on my podcast, I would be talking with him about this. I would be going through that. And if Sam wants to make other points, I would invite him to. But nobody's talking about this. Nobody's talking about the problem of slavery, the problem of slavery. And that's, I mean, the Constitution, they tried to get rid of it, the Constitution, the South wouldn't let them. So they played this weaselly game to slowly get rid of it, which kind of worked. Like 100 years later, it was gone. And 100 years after that, civil rights. And we're still got a new battle every day because slavery is so evil, it takes hundreds and hundreds of years to get rid of it, and you're still working to get rid of it in a new, different battle every day. You can't keep fighting yesterday's battle. It won't work because that's how evil slavery is. Now, nobody's talking about that. George R. R. Martin puts it in the Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones, about the problem of slavery. The Constitution's got it there. These men are talking about slavery, but they're not talking about this? You know, come on, guys.
Yeah.
But see, the audience thinks that's funny. Oh, a Ten Commandment banning slavery. Huh. You know, that'd be great. Ha, 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 ha. Bible's so stupid. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, guys. And Jordan's agreeing with him. Bad idea, Jordan. Bad idea.
There's certainly one we could swap out for that one. And that's shocking. And it's not an accident, right? And it would be much easier to stem cell research. There's no question that generations of Christians who read Revelation expected the world to end in some literal sense of this kind of phantasmagoria. I mean, there was going to be a beast.
Undoubtedly, they thought this
would happen in their own time, you know, under Rome.
What does that do to Moses' style? This is not a narrative. This is instructions
laws
about
of war.
What to do.
Watch Sam, we're going to come back to this later. Watch Sam's face. Watch. Look at his face.
Take over that land.
Look at Sam's face.
Right.
Yeah, right. Whatever. You're not saying right. Listen, right here, when forget the kind, we are going to come back and listen to this later and talk about it intellectually, but watch the body language. Sam's face is priceless. I'm so glad he has this face. Jordan acts like he's agreeing, and it's actually smart for Jordan, but Jordan is not agreeing with anything. Jordan is shedding his armor so that he can be light-footed and run in for the strike attack. It's going to be a flash. That's what Jordan's doing. He doesn't agree with squat. Jordan is shedding his armor. He's abandoning so many arguments, so he has such little ground to defend in order to win. And he's dropping all of his weapons because he's getting out his spear, no armor, and he's going to charge and go, boom! That's what Jordan's doing in all this. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, sure. Right. And Sam knows that Jordan's doing it because Sam knows Jordan. So now Sam, he wants everyone to agree with him without a debate yesterday. That's his attitude. So all of this comes out and you see it happen right here. Watch Sam's face. But see, Sam's face is a critique on Jordan, and I think it's correct. Now, if I were in Jordan's shoes, I would do what he's doing. If I were in Sam's shoes, I'd probably do what he's doing. This is just fun to watch. Watch this.
About killing husbands and taking the wives.
Yeah, the Old Testament's a brutal document.
Absolutely brutal. And so my point would be, I don't know that reading that portion.
Jordan. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Well, hypothetically, if you take the New Testament seriously, it does. There you go again.
I can't.
Slavery is a very straightforward case.
It's straightforward. It's yesterday. Agree
clearly
with me.
Daenerys
Stormborn and the Night's King agree with me on this. I mean, Sauron and Gandalf and Saruman and the orcs and the elves all agree with me on this. The devil and Jesus agree with me on this. What is your problem?
Bible thumpers of the South who were defending slavery with reference to the text.
I'm not going to defend
felt
that.
They were on firm ground, and I would invite anyone to read.
I'd invite anyone.
To see that they were on fairly firm ground.
I mean, just see fairly firm, you know, at least.
Of the honest reading was
honest,
on the side
if
of,
you're honest anyway.
Clearly. We can keep
clearly.
Slaves.
Right?
Jesus never envisioned a world without slavery. And
Jesus
he admonished slaves to serve their masters well and to serve their Christian masters especially well.
Especially.
The English Protestants wouldn't have agreed with that because, like I said, they were at the forefront of the fight against slavery.
Okay,
but I think they were clearly influenced
by something outside the text.
No, they weren't. Jordan, you shouldn't concede.
You're making this harder than it is, and my concern is why?
You're making this harder than it is, Jordan. You should have agreed with me already. Okay, do you see the style that's happening here? Okay, I just want you to see the style. And look at poor Brett there in the middle. I mean, look at that guy. I feel sorry for him. He loves both of these guys, and he's breaking down, and we want to salvage this. Now, to this point, we're not done.
Well, I don't think I am, Sam, because...
Okay. All right. So
you say this is a bad life.
Now, this is the place where Jordan is going to basically summarize what I think's going on with why Sam's irritated. Now, there's so many more things to say. This is another good one. I really think, again, this absolute, Sam wants opinions to be accepted as absolute fact, and he wants it without a debate yesterday. And he doesn't know. Sam's not a bad person. Sam's not doing this on purpose. But I think it makes it difficult for him to win against Jordan because he's doing it. And I think that he doesn't know that he's doing it. I think Sam has an opinion deep down inside somewhere about something, and that he doesn't know that it's there. And that's what's driving Sam to do this. And I'm talking about it on a communication style level. And Jordan is going to explain it on an epistemological level as far as their difference of opinion. So Jordan's going to say why their opinions disagree this way, because you think it's absolute fact, and I think that that's an opinion, a moral claim, an opinion. And that's where you put the stake in the ground. No, you want it to be a fact. Jordan saying that about Sam's opinion, I'm saying that about why Sam has the style that I've been describing.
And you say this is a good life. And then you make a side move, which I would say is that that's an objectively verifiable fact. I would say, I don't think it is an objectively verifiable fact. I think it's a fundamental moral claim.
An opinion.
And I think that's where you put your stake in the ground.
Sam wants his opinion to be treated as a fact. And he would say, no, it's not an opinion. It is a fact. And you can clearly see. And he's going to use Ivy League to defend it. No, Sam, if you're going to ask people to believe that your opinion is a fact, or that you're going to, we think it's an opinion, but you think it's a fact, you're going to have to prove it to us. That's part of being a not lazy debater. And if you're man enough, Sam, you're going to come on my podcast and I'm going to show you this. And I want you to talk. I want to see what you do, but I want to coach you to do better. Because Sam, I believe in you, and you could do better, Sam. And I want you to do better. And Jordan, I've got some stuff to say to you about this. Now,
and I would say when
right now what we're doing is right where I dropped off with Jordan. We're going to go for about 2 more minutes and be done with this. There's about 2 more minutes of video. I'm going to let Jordan pick up where he just left off. He says, that's where you put your stake in the ground. And we're picking up where Jordan left off. And then we're going to see and watch them kind of come around full circle eventually end. And I'm going to sort of stop talking because I've been done so much of this splicing and dicing. We're going to get to the end of their hour where it comes back full circle and you'll kind of see where this went. I think that I'm not going to comment so much on that, but just showing you that part is justice and fairness to how this really was going. I think that if I don't let them just kind of talk and let it speak for itself here in the end, this last segment does it. With that, I'm doing justice. If I don't share this, then I don't think I'm doing a good job as a journalist or, you know, whatever, that type of work.
Read that, I thought, well, if you take your jungle story, which you've extracted from a bunch of horrors and compiled.
That's not necessarily bad.
And you take your positive story, which you've extracted from a bunch of horrors.
Sam knows he can interrupt.
And Jordan would. Quasi-utopias, let's say, and compiled. You're 2/3 of the way to a landscape of hell and heaven.
Right.
Well, so then why not continue the abstraction and say, look, what we're really trying to avoid here is hell.
Oh, yeah.
What we're really trying to move towards is heaven. Yeah, but oh, yeah. But
well, yeah.
As soon as you do that, you're in a religious landscape.
No, but my name for hell is...
Okay, now, in just a minute, I've got to explain this. In just a moment, Sam is going to say, I'm trying to figure out what they were clapping for. He uses different words. I could quote them exactly, but he's going to say, I want to... What were they? What do they think you said? They're clapping about something. What was it? I don't think Jordan's audience knows specifically. It's not Jordan's audience. It's Jordan's enthusiasts. Remember, the Jordan enthusiasts in the audience are happy about this. They're clapping. And I don't think they know why. The reason why is the purpose of a debate was just accomplished. You know the purpose of a debate? Here's your chance to write it down and get kudos. The purpose of a debate is to understand the other person first and then go into their arguments and prove to them how their own opinion disagrees with itself. to prove that their own worldview contradicts, that their own system contradicts. That's really what, in a general sense, that's what a debate is kind of sort of basically aiming for. And if the better you can do that, the better you're going to do in a debate. And Jordan just did that. He says, well, now, but he says, you know, heaven, hell, well, I go there. Okay, go there. But you're in a religious landscape now, buddy. And that's where you don't want to go. And so in by the core, essential, unwritten, universal rules of what makes a debate good or bad, Jordan just told him, Sam's been done tolded. Sam's been told now. And so because Sam's been told, the Jordan enthusiasts are happy. But the reason that Sam was told, so to speak, is because Jordan did put forth a pretty compelling argument for where Sam's contradicting himself. Sam takes the smart route. And first of all, he makes some good crowd pleaser comments about the audience. If I were Sam, I'd do the same. Sam's got a great comeback coming. I love it. I'm glad he did it. Sam is then going to make the better position, the smarter move, and he's going to say, okay, we've got stuff to talk about now, don't we? That's a good hour intro for our remaining 3 hours. And Brett's also going to come in and be the good moderator, and you're going to watch this come full circle. So I'm going to let most of the rest of this speak for itself.
This is very interesting left. Because... like,
he's still speechless. Jordan enthusiasts think the cat has his tongue.
We're talking about this at dinner.
Cat got your tongue.
We're talking about this at dinner and how the overlap or lack of overlap between our audiences. And so, like, I just heard from your audience there.
They're not an audience. They're enthusiasts.
You might have heard from the odd convert.
Right. I don't like
this. What's amazing to me is, so, like, I have to do some work to figure out what point they think you made.
Right, because they only think it.
Wait a second.
Hold on.
Those are the same.
I said, if you're going to produce a fiction, why not go right to the end?
Okay,
because you did produce a fiction.
You can tell stories by way of communicating certain ideas. I mean, that's obviously... so, I mean, I'm not saying stories aren't incredibly powerful and useful... and inevitable, right? So, like, we use...
Wait, I think you are. You might not be saying that they're...
I love
you,
Jordan.
They're
not.
They're not inevitable, but you are debating their utility and power.
And Jordan's right
about... You said you don't need this story as an intermediary.
Now we have a few doors open here, which I think we should extract the most out of these areas that we've touched and not run on to something else.
Okay. So I'm going to stop this particular analysis there. And I'm going to pick up later. What we've got here in this is I've been doing an analysis of their communication styles. And I think that these could improve. Now, in the remaining segment, we're going to look at several different tenets that they argue. And I'm going to talk about content and why I think from a content perspective, they could have done much better. And that's going to be more juicy and meaty. Cheerio. See you then.